You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Our leadership portfolio is run by Luke Hodge, who is an unerringly good judge of the way tribunals are going to land, for what it's worth, privately. He gets these virtually every week. Hello to you, Hodgie.
Morning, Jared. A bit going on in the AFL world, as we find most Wednesdays. But I was pretty confident that Toby didn't have much of a chance to get off. And it was pretty much only because of the precedent that was set with Peter Wright earlier in the year. Both very similar incidents. The only difference that I see in it is Peter Wright's 110 kilos and knocked his opponent out, where Toby Green's 80 kilos and his opponent got up. So that was the difference between the 1 and the 4 weeks. But I think both realised late that they weren't going to be able to make a proper attempt at marking the ball. Both braced for himself, and it's pretty much down to what the AFL is saying, that if you're in that position and you elect to brace and use your body as a weapon, I guess, and you make contact with the head, same as what they say with the bump, then we're going to hold you accountable. And I can hear the people at home in uproars, but this is the way that the AFL want to go with looking after the player's head, concussion, all the head trauma stuff. This is where they've put the rules in place to protect this.
Yeah, the Giants didn't get close to beating that last night, the way that the rules are written. So there are two aspects I'm curious in, Hodgie, drawing on your experience. The first was that it was put to Green that he had an obligation to protect Jordan Boyd and to take proper care of him, because he was the player coming back with no possibility of knowing what was happening. Well, is that a practicality out on the field?
I think what the AFL are saying is that players make split-second decisions 100 times a game. And what they're trying to say is, if you realise early that you're not going to be able to make a correct attempt at marking this, or if you assess early that you're not going to get there, then pull out and just man the mark. This is what the AFL are trying to do. It's the same as the bumping decision. If you realise that you're any chance of getting him in the head, then slow down, corral, tackle him. This is what they're asking the player to do. Make a split-second decision earlier, just so you and the opposition player are not in that position.
What of the idea that Green has to stay wide open? So his better judgment says that if he stays wide open, he's going to be in a vulnerable position. Now, he didn't injure Boyd, but to avoid injury to himself, he covered up, because otherwise, as he says, my face and my chest will be highly exposed and I'm in a vulnerable position. So Toby's only way out is to bury his better judgment and risk injury to himself.
Yeah, and you can 100% understand where he's coming from, but as I said before, this is what the AFL are saying, that they want you to assess that earlier. And players make a split-second decision. And we're not saying this is not an easy game. You have so many decisions to make in a game of football. What they're trying to get you to say is, in that instance, if you don't think you can make a proper attempt at marking the ball, understand that a little bit earlier and try not to leave the ground. Because once you leave the ground, we saw with the Maynard, and this is once again where the AFL are trying to change it, they don't want you leaving the ground unless you know you can impact the ball, which is, it's, we're not saying it's an easy game to play, but this is what they're asking the players to assess before that they leave the ground in a marking contest.
So what does Toby Green do the next time the exact circumstance presents?
Well, try and make that decision a split second earlier.
So stay on the ground?
Stay on the ground.
Let Boyd take the mark?
And I think that's what it comes down to now. That's what the AFL are saying. When they're trying to put a player's safety ahead of the game, we've had three people that have retired in the last 18 months through concussion, head trauma incidents, or multiple over the years. They're trying to get it to be a safer playing field for everyone. So you need to make that decision a little bit earlier. This is what they're asking. And I can sit back and I can hear a lot of players going, hey, that they've done this so many times, it's a split second, and this is what they're asking to do. Slow down, corral, and maybe if you've got a man the mark and not attempt to contest this contest, then so be it. This is what they're requesting from the players.
Do you think there's a time in the future when we'll examine the player going with the flight of the ball and the danger that that represents?
Possibly. I think players are starting to make that judgment themselves. I know there was a lot brought up at Rochelle, and I think it's becoming more acceptable that if a player's in that position, that, hey, do they take a couple short steps or not go for that contest, because we've seen what the ramifications can be. So will they get punished for it? I don't think so. But I think a lot of players are starting to realise that going back with a flight is more acceptable, not going back with a flight is more acceptable than what it used to be 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think we're in a really vexed position right now. I don't think we'll be in the same position in 3 years' time, but there's a set of players who are going to wear the suspensions along the way.
I think you're right, but this is, as we said, it's a tough game, but the players will adapt. We see how it is with the dump tackle, the old dump tackle that we used to do. Players don't do that. They roll them now, so they've adjusted with the dump tackle. The bump, that split second, very, very rarely we see someone who elects to bump and actually run through. And if it does happen, everyone's like, how can you do that? Give them 6 weeks. So this is just the mindset change that the AFL are trying to get the players and the supporters to understand what they're trying to clean the game up and make it safer for the players. And you hear people say, oh, people won't go and watch. That's incorrect. We've got bigger numbers than we ever have. And do you know why? Because the people who won't watch are the people who look back at the 60s, 70s and 80s and go, I can't stand it anymore. But guess what? For every one person that doesn't go to the footy, some father's bringing his 3 or 4 or 5 sons and daughters to watch it. So the fact is, if they reckon that the game's not going to be viewed as much, that's incorrect. We're always going to have more and more people coming to watch our game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the scaremongering is over the top on that front. I support the principle. I just think in this instance, the practicality. I think the idea of saying to Toby Green last night, you have to protect the player who's running back with the flight of the ball, I think the onus there is out of whack, and I don't think we'll stay there forever.
Yeah, I think this is just the AFL trying to enforce what they're trying to do for the safety of the players. And look, you sit back and go, Toby Green, how many times has he done this? He's gone back with the flight. He's done that action numerous times in his career, and normally he gets the timing right where he takes a hanger or he spoils it and brings it to Green. This one's a split second, and this is what the AFL is saying, we're not standing for this anymore. So you do feel for Toby, you feel for Peter Wright back in, was it round one or two, I think it was, early in the year. But this is the stance that the AFL are going with, and whether you like it or not, we have to adapt with it.
The leadership of Luke Hodge is before us today. 0433 98 11 16. The 40 Winks temper text. The difference is temper. And the Alltel open line is 1-300-736-736. Alltel, the better business telco. I'm all for footy on a Wednesday night, Hodge. That's the way to get over the hump, is have footy to look forward to.
Well, tell you what, I was a massive fan of Thursday night football, and now we're getting a game earlier. Look, I think any time that you can put the TV on, sit down with the kids, and watch it, even though they do have to go to bed at halftime. I'm all for that. My boys love watching it, and so do we. So, yes, we do need a couple of days to, I guess, unwind from the previous round. I wouldn't want to be seeing too many Tuesday night games of football, but the odd Wednesday I look forward to.
So it's Richmond and Melbourne, and the fascination here is Adam Uze has been an intricate part of the Brains Trust that has set these demons up for success. Now, how will he approach trying to bring them undone? And he's gone with 2 ruckmen, which just doesn't feel like the way. I wonder how he'll deploy them, Nankervis and Naismith.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a double team on Max Gawn to see if they can grind him down. And tell you what, one thing you do know, if a head coach who's just come across from another side, they do know the weaknesses, because that's what you spend all your time. You spend your time trying to cover your weaknesses and exploit opposition weaknesses. So Adam Uze knows where the flaws are. I think he would have taken a lot from Brisbane Lions last week, attacking Neil Bullen, going after Petrarca, and the like. So the only thing with Uze, you feel for him, because he does have a depleted side. If you look through the injury list that he's got, he's going out there with half a full strength side that he'd normally play. But what we have found this year with Jared with football is anything's possible. We've had a lot of upsets this year, and who knows what could happen tonight.
Have you thought at any stage during this year what I wonder how Dusty Martin finds his motivation in this circumstance as it presents to him. Is that they would have come into the year trying to make one more dash at it and see what was possible instantly. Straight away, that became clear that's not their lot, and they're bound for a couple of hard years while they look to build it again, and the impact that that might have on a player that's tasted everything in footy.
Yeah, but that comes down to the maturity and the mindset of the player. You have to be smart enough to say, are we going to push for finals? And clearly it showed early on that wasn't going to be the case. He has to change his mindset, apart from winning at all costs, as Richmond have done for the last 6 or 7 years, to all of a sudden, how can I help develop this side so I may get a shot at finals before I'm finished up? And that's about teaching the young kids, guiding the young kids. This is a pretty important mindset change that you need from senior players if you're going to have a real good impact when you do leave, leave and make a lasting impact on the young guys when you leave the football club.
How did you go about making that adjustment?
I actually really enjoyed it, to be honest. It was 2017. It happened pretty early where I think we got beaten by St Kilda by 75, beaten by Gold Coast by 60 or 70, and then Geelong was a similar figure. And this is all by about round 6. So we had a leadership group meeting where it was all about not so much about winning it as we'd focused the previous 6 years. It was about how can we fast track the young guys. So I moved to half back and spent time with Sicily, spent time with Hardwick, Burton, who's not there at Hawthorn anymore. But the mind change was crucial, realising if you make mistakes, if it's not about winning or losing, it's about making sure these guys understand how to play AFL and how to fast track them the best. So if that means putting other guys in a better position to find the ball, then that's what you have to do as a leader.
Did you get there yourself? Was that conversations with peers or elders? How did you get there?
I guess you have to sit down and have a bit of an understanding of where you are as a group, and be realistic of are you a chance of playing finals or winning another premiership. And the writing was sort of on the wall. We had Mitch and Sammy leave the year before. We had Jager and Tommy come in as a new look midfield. But we realised early on it's going to take a little bit more than a few extra players coming in, which is going to take us back up the top. So it was, I guess, an understanding of myself, but it's also a chat between the leaders to understand what's the best way moving forward. And the coaches kind of understood that as well.
And then post-buy for Melbourne. So that they've done their work, which I'll talk to Sando around the strategy of that. Last time we saw them, they looked flat against Brisbane, and their forward line issues were there. They dropped Ben Brown. They've got this as a tune-up, and then they go Geelong, Carlton. So we're very quickly to know where they sit in terms of the top two, I reckon.
Yeah, we are. Look, I was pretty bullish about Melbourne. I know we've spoken over the years of their connection going forward. I was hoping that Ben Ruin was going to develop. He's still a young fella learning his craft. But they've still got a lot of quality players through there. Yes, Brisbane were able to pick them apart, but That's an experienced team who listened to a coach's tactic and went out and attacked Melbourne. We can see that any week throughout an AFL season. So have I gone backwards on Melbourne? No, not yet. I still like the look of them. Yes, they've still got to do a little bit of work, and they're still trying to figure out that forward function, but they've got too many quality players for me to put a line through them at the moment.
Luke Hodge for Australian Made. It's important to buy Australian right now. He runs our leadership portfolio. He'll set us up for the Anzac round, and then we'll delve deep into strategy with Brenton Sanderson this Wednesday, this game day.
We're not that concerned. I know we would love to have a couple more wins, obviously, and 2-4 doesn't read that well. But I think for us, we've seen teams last year like Carlton and the Giants who are coming up against this week came from maybe 13th and 15th at their respective buys and made prelim finals and were very close to making grand finals. So we're not worried. And I think the comp's so even this year that if you can get into the eight, wherever that may be, we want to finish as high as we can. But if that's in the bottom half of the eight or the top half of the eight, we feel like we're a chance because it's such an even comp this year.
Lions co-captain Lachie Neale with us on 360 last night. So the Lions have this stretch of games. This is why Canberra is so important tomorrow night. They've got the Giants, who are missing a couple at least. Then they've got the Suns at the Gabba. They've got Adelaide in Adelaide. It's yet to be determined whether they're any good or not. The Tigers at the Gabba. Then Hawthorn. Bulldogs over at Marvel and St Kilda. So they have a stretch of games here, Hodgie, where they could get on a run and put themselves right back in it. Or they're going to stutter and splutter through the season. What level of concern are you holding for the Lions at 2-4?
There's a little bit just because of the win-loss factor. If you look at the football they've played at times throughout the year, you're sitting back going, they're a better team than what they've shown. They got outclassed in the third quarter against Carlton, and there's been other games where they've been a bit inconsistent. I think they hit Collingwood at the wrong time. Collingwood was starting to find their mojo. And what they did to Melbourne was impressive. I thought they started off well on Saturday night, but I don't think the players adapted to the conditions. They were too cute, over-possessed the ball, trying to go for small little cute kicks. When Geelong, an experienced, hard and smart team, just understood what you had to do in tough conditions. So you sort of look back and the Lions still move the ball, all right? They kicked 4-13 to 9-9. Like their kicking, their disposal was awful. And it cost them the game. So I'm still bullish about them, just the fact that the football that they have played. But yeah, you're right. This is a massive game tomorrow night. You wouldn't want to be sitting going 2-5.
No, if they could get themselves on a roll, they'll be right back in the thick of the season in a short time. But if they can't get that result tomorrow night in Canberra, then it sort of looms large over them. What do you think of the Eagles' decision to rest Harley Reid right in the middle of the mania?
Oh, bring him, keep him going. Let him ride it. But look, you understand what he's gone through, not only the physical stress that what he's put his body through, an 18, 19-year-old kid, the mental stress that he's going through. We've heard about this kid for 2 years, and all of a sudden he gets drafted. He's on the front and the back page of the WA paper every day, and then he just sets the AFL alight. So I'm actually okay for him to sit back and say, look, mate, this is just as much a mental break as it is a physical break, because of... he's just burst onto the scene. It's a little bit for the one of just keeping an even cool. AFL is a roller coaster, and he's definitely on cloud nine at the moment. But maybe they're just sitting here going, take a breath, rest the body up, rest the mind, and come back next week fresh and ready to go.
How important is the signature of Max Holmes to the Cats as he locks in for 4 more years?
Well, he was noticeably a big difference for that side on Saturday night. The speed across the halfback line through the midfield just opens up an extra little bit for him. So, look, it just continues to amaze me. Geelong continue to surround himself with good young players, but good young people, and it's a huge signing because I know he's one of the crowd favourites, especially after what he went through a couple of years ago as well.
And Buddy is going to be at the G on Sunday. That's rather lovely for Hawks and Swans fans.
I think this is a great moment for both Sydney and Hawthorn supporters. Bud, who's naturally a shy guy, I think he pretty much had to get forced out to the SCG as a goodbye when he waved. But look, Bud loves football. He's been to a couple games up here in Queensland. But for him to go home and say a proper goodbye to both the supporters that he did so much for, but also those supporters in the brown and gold and the red and white absolutely cherish what he did. So it would be good to sit back and watch the big fella go around and say thank you.
How strong's the affection in Hawthorn circles that you come across for what he did?
You still see number 23 on the back of kids now. And no offence to anyone who's worn 23 since Bud, but we know where it's come from. Like, this is a bloke who, he turned the game for us. He was a massive reason of why we're able to rise up so fast towards 2008. His 100th goal is still probably one of the highlights that I've been a part of, getting everyone charging onto the ground. But for him to be able to go back, and for the young supporters who actually never saw him play but saw highlights of him, because I know that their parents would have told every single kick and goal that Buddy did while he wore the brown and gold.
And for those who are grappling with their tips and trying to work out Fremantle or the Bulldogs, which way are you thinking? The Dockers
or the
Dogs?
Coin. Toss a coin. You look back and the wins and losses that we've sort of seen, some teams be up 1 week, down the next. Whoever's up the top of a tipping competition, they either did them at the start of the year or they're just guessing the whole way through, because this has been a tough year. But look, I was bullish about Fremantle early in the year. Their first three games, they were very impressive, but they just seem to have stagnated. The ball movement, they're the rated 18 for inside 50, so the excitement used with the ball that we saw a couple of years ago is just shut down. They're a very stagnant team, and tell you what, a young, energetic West Coast really tore them apart on the weekend. Made them look, and everyone talks about their defence. West Coast made them look silly.
Which, go on, pick one.
I'll go Bulldogs.
Okay. It's the least toss convincing of the coin tip I've heard of all
year. I didn't get a chance to find a coin.
Hodgie, terrific. Enjoy this Anzac round of footy. I look forward to touching base next week.
Thanks, Jared.
Luke Hodge, he runs our leadership portfolio. Let's